The University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee plays a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin. UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and major public research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Meet the people behind the creativity and discoveries at UWM today. Here's the host of UWM Today, Tom Lujak, Vice Chancellor for University Relations and Communications.
Using pets like cats and dogs to help provide comfort to people who are lonely or dealing with emotional issues can produce some amazing results. Well, at UWM, one counselor is taking that approach in a new direction by introducing horses into the equation. Not only are they much bigger animals, but the results could be significantly greater for some people in need. Our guest on this edition of UWM Today is Lisa Engel, who received her master's degree in educational psychology and community counseling and is now engaged in therapy using horses. Welcome, Lisa. Good to have you with us.
Thank you. Good to be here.
How did you get interested in the notion of working with horses and people to help them deal with the emotional issues?
I've always believed in the strong connection between animals and people. Animals can communicate things that people have a lot harder time doing. I chanced upon equine-assisted psychotherapy when I was doing outreach for a veterans organization that I did my my school hours for, and learned about Stepping Stone Farms and met
place
the owner.
Located in Racine, right?
Yeah, it's in Franksville, yeah, which is just over the Racine border. And met the owner, Leah Sater, and she connected with me probably 4 or 5 months later when she was sponsoring a seminar to certify people in equine-assisted psychotherapy and learning with Greg Kirsten and his OK Corral series.
And so that got you literally going down the path of beginning to make that connection with horses and with people. You talk about the nature of horses. Tell us more. What is it about horses that allow people to connect with them?
I think it's kind of a combination of two things. One, they have a high sensitivity to human emotions. So people learn very quickly that they can't bring a lot of crap if they're going to ride a horse or deal with a horse, because the horse picks up on that and the horse acts out on it, much like small children sometimes do. The other thing is they're very large. And being so large, if they're acting out, it's very, very difficult to get much accomplished. And so this can be used as a tool because it mirrors the human emotions. And for somebody who's having emotional difficulties, by working with the horse and having the horse kind of mirror them, they learn how they're perceived. And it can help them to modify and better monitor how they interact with others. So it can really be a teaching tool for children who might have difficulties like autism and might not pick up on a lot of social cues. Or for, say, it's a common problem with veterans with PTSD, is there's like a major personality shift and their ability to relate to others changes. And so it's the horses have a good way of putting it right back at you.
Huh. Well, give us an example, if you can, of someone that you've seen interact with a horse with results that from your standpoint, have been positive.
Well, we work with a lot of kids, and I think it's not so much a really specific example as it is a common example, and a lot of it, like in building self-esteem. This is this enormous animal and a 12-year-old child. Usually, we tend to see more girls. Girls and horses seem to go together. But who lacks self-esteem, lacks the ability to express, you know, what she wants and advocate for herself. Well, by learning to communicate with the horse and having this, you know, ginormous animal that weighs 10 times more at least.
And it's probably two or three times as tall.
Easily. And actually, a lot of the horses we work with are Tennessee walking horses, so they are very tall. But to be able to get that horse to do what she wants it to do is tremendous, because she's able to communicate what she wants, and to get this much larger object, living being, to cooperate and do that. And it really feeds on self-esteem. I mean, it really grows from that. And it grows self-advocacy, because if you can make a 6,000-pound or however many thousand-pound horse walk around and go through an obstacle course, well, certainly you should be able to tell somebody what you want or what you're not getting that you need.
One thing that really interests me is how you get the human in this horse-human connection. How do you get the people comfortable being around something as big as these huge animals if they walk into the relationship with some emotional issues of their own? You mentioned PTSD or people who may have some issues with their own self-image. Aren't they naturally
timid,
you know, pulling back, a little fearful to begin with? Or does that change in the presence of a big animal like this?
My observation has been that it changes. And while there are kind of normal fears of, well, what if the horse tries to run away? Or what if the horse knocks me off?
I'd be concerned with what if the horse steps on me.
Well, and that one, you know, that's actually, we work in a very a sand arena that has a lot of give in the sand. So that would probably be one of the smaller issues. But one of the parts of the therapy is teaching grooming, teaching care, teaching safety. And one of our biggest messages to clients is always be alert, keep yourself safe. And that can be in the arena with a horse, or that can be walking down the street on a dark night. I mean, it transcends the one thing. But by learning the parts of the horse and learning the proper how to take care of the horse, what the horse eats, how much it needs to drink, all that's incorporated into the therapy. So I think we're educating as well. I haven't really seen a client yet, and I've worked with, in the time I've been there, quite a few clients that's been significantly frightened of the horse. They might not want the biggest horse, but typically, you know, that's something that we usually can address. Or there's a lot of our clients that have never been around horses the younger ones don't even have the fear. You know, they're ready to jump in because it's something totally new. Older and wiser, there's a lot that can be done with education and just explaining how to remain safe.
We'd love to talk a little more about the horse. Is there any special training or preparation that takes place before you select a horse or introduce that horse into this therapy relationship?
There's definitely temperament considered. The horses that we work with, Leah's got 22 horses on the farm, and they are selected for use in therapies, and some horses are used more than others depending on what they are good at. And so what you're looking for is a horse that enjoys its work, but also you don't want a horse that's just a trail horse. And by trail horse, I mean it. Most people who have ever been like to a place to go horseback riding on a trail ride, the horses are very predictable. They line up. They go in a certain direction. It's not, you know, normally there aren't too many things that are off the beaten track. Well, that's not the case with therapy. You want the horse to behave like a horse. You want to see herd behaviors. Those responses of the horse are giving a lot of information both to the therapist as well as the client. in different measures, of course. But if the horse is too predictable, you won't pick up on how that horse is reading that person. And I mean, there are times where you can have a horse in an arena with the horse completely acting like the person's a pole. And I mean, that tells you something right there about where that person's coming from. On the other hand, you know, if they're acting frisky and playful, they're reading a whole different thing from that person. You need a horse that's going to behave like a horse.
So the same horse could have a different attitude, behave differently depending on the type of vibes it's getting from the person that it's next to.
Absolutely. There you just don't see the same scenario twice. You couldn't force it to happen. We're constantly surprised because you just never quite know what you're going to get. And I mean, I think that makes it interesting, but it also makes it powerful because it's how much we learn just from that very large animal and their behavior. And, you know, one thing horses don't do is lie. So you can have the most manipulative client in the world, and the horse is not going to buy into it.
Do you think the horses enjoy this experience, the constant exposure to people with all sorts of personalities and all sorts of behavior traits?
I think, you know, they have a certain level of curiosity. They aren't, like, overworked by any means. They have a lot of them are rescues, and they have really good lives compared to where they came from. However, it doesn't take too long observing them to see that they, for the most part, like humans. I mean, they like that interaction. You know, it's a little more, you know, they don't really like leaving their food for too long. But it's, you know, their curiosity and things like that are stimulated. So I think they do enjoy it. And it's never the same twice. And yet when they get kind of tired, if, like, you're trying to stand in one place and talk about something for a little too long, they'll paw the ground or do something to let you know that they are kind of bored.
That's amazing. Different breeds of horses, doesn't make any difference what kind they are. All horses can be trained or adapted to work in these therapy environments?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, the difference between horse people as far as people who genuinely, you know, spend most of their time working with or breeding horses, there tend to be a lot of opinions about this or that breed might work best. I think what we find is that clients are typically naturally drawn to one horse or another. And so that's usually how we'll approach it, is we will walk around, do kind of a walkthrough, and let them see all the different horses and kind of tell them who they are. And usually they'll select one from there. And
when they select one, when the client is trying to see who's a good fit, do you think they're getting some sort of feelings from the horse, just as the horse seems to pick up on the emotions of the person?
It could be. It could be just the horse that walks over to the fence, and they decide that that must mean that horse likes them. Yeah. It could mean something totally different. But, you know, it's everybody's got, you know, whatever personal characteristic they see or attribute to that horse. And, you know, there's other things. Sometimes there are size determinations. You know, if you have a 300-pound adult or a 20-pound child, which horse is more appropriate is probably going to be different, because if you put that 20-pound child on a large horse, a very large horse, the large horse is probably not even going to know there's a child up there. But, you know, there are temperaments, there are certain exercises that we might select a certain horse, but typically each client tends to have a favorite horse.
You're listening to UWM Today here on WUWM. Good to have you with us this week. I'm Tom Lujack. Joining us in the studio is Lisa Engel. Lisa got her master's degree in educational psychology and community counseling, working on her therapist license here in the state of Wisconsin, but right now sharing her thoughts and being involved in a wonderful program that brings horses and people together to bring some emotional support to folks who need it. Lisa, as you think about the experiences of the humans, the individuals who you're connecting in this equine type therapy, do you think that there are some people where therapy with a horse just is not going to work, or is it your sense that you're able to go ahead and make this connection between all kinds of people?
I think to say that there's certain people that therapy with a horse or with the assistance of a horse wouldn't work, the only person that would be somebody that therapy wouldn't work. I think it's a richer form of therapy because, first of all, it takes you out of the clinical environment, which in most cases is still pretty...
Sterile.
Thank you. Yes, that would be the word I would use. You're outside.
Sterile, predictable. I mean, you know, it's a
exactly.
Very controlled environment.
Very controlled. Sit in a room with one other person and talk about, you know, your issues. You take that out, and all of a sudden, you've got the environment. That's one place you're going to pick up information from. And it's, you know, I mean, you're just in a better place. It's a beautiful setting. And you're working with animals. There's other animals around the farm. So there's just so much more taking place than the interactions of two people. To me, this kind of therapy can work with anybody. More and more, we've been seeing a lot of clients that have physical disabilities. There are other farms that offer equine-type therapy or hippotherapy when you're talking about, like, the physical aspects of it. And a couple of them had closed down. And so some of those parents were looking for a new place for their children. And so we get clients from all different places and referrals. And, you know, it isn't a matter of physical or mental ability. It's just a matter of being there and actually engaging in the process.
But how does that work if someone is physically disabled? You know, they may be in a wheelchair or may have some other disability that doesn't allow them to do the grooming or you know, mount a horse. How would you connect a horse into a person's life who can't ride the horse?
I don't know that we've encountered any one of those yet, other than, I mean, if somebody is so emotionally distraught, the horse would pick up on that, and basically that would send them into a panic. So that would be a very bad combination. However, people who are coming out of wheelchairs can be assisted to get on horses. It's actually really, really good for building up muscles and for people with any kind of a physical disability or injuries. It's very good for working on a lot of those muscles. So it's got a lot of benefits outside of just the psychotherapy. And I know that, not myself, but the executive director, who is the equine expert, and the owner, or she's the executive director. She's not really the owner because it's a nonprofit, but of the farm, she has been working more and more with occupational therapists and physical therapists because some of the clients that are coming have these physical things, everything from physical disability to, like, say, a hearing problem. So ways of working around that, and it's finding ways to be creative.
So you're really into equine therapy. You get it. You've seen the results. Do you ever run into situations where other therapists may say, not so sure? Or is there pretty much universal acceptance of the fact that this can be a good fit?
I wouldn't say it's universal. I would say it's spreading. And, I mean, that's evidence just in all the newspaper articles friends and family send me from all over the United States on coverage that different facilities are getting for their work with equine-assisted therapy. And a lot of times it focuses on veterans, but other groups focus on children, troubled teens. I would say that the place it probably struggles the most is with the empirical evidence, which is the gold standard. I have never encountered anybody I've talked to about it or told about it or mentioned it. The reaction is almost universally, that is so cool. And so I haven't really run across people, but I've read articles and other types of things that the big question mark, at least as far as the sciences is concerned, is the empirical evidence. And, you know, like anything else.
The question is, would the person get better or heal faster?
There are some therapies that can be measured easily. Psychology's not the easiest one usually to measure. Physical therapies are much easier to measure. I don't even know that the comparison is there. It's just that typically for wide acceptance, you need to have some sort of evidence that gets published in specific scholarly journals that kind of give sort of irrefutable evidence that, yes, we measured it and it works.
But subjectively, you've seen enough examples of it working that you're sold on it.
I have no doubt. I have no doubt.
If someone's listening to the program and either they themselves are dealing with some issues emotionally, or they have family members who perhaps might benefit from this, what sort of path should they take to get into an equine therapy program? Do they have to work through their own counselor or doctor, or can they come directly to a nonprofit like the one you're involved with?
We have clients that do both. We do get referrals from insurance. We get referrals from wraparound services. We also get private inquiries. There's a lot of word of mouth as far as, you know, parent networks, or even the veterans network is a lot like that. And so we'll have people who specifically usually will contact the executive director, Leah, and explain what their situation is and how they found out about it and what they're interested in. And if they don't have a situation which can be set up for billing through insurance, we have clients that pay on their own. And in my opinion, it's very reasonable. I won't say what it is, but it you know, it's definitely something that is adaptable to a lot of situations.
If someone is brought into an environment where they're working with these horses, is it important that there then be some follow-up on the part of the counselor or the therapist following the experience, this interaction with the animal, with horses, to help advance treatment in a person's case? Or
usually it's no different than the type of treatment that you would see going to a clinic. You know, there are clients that go away and don't come back, as there are anywhere. There are clients that stay in touch, and, you know, you've got your success stories, and you've got, I wonder whatever happened, and it's too bad we couldn't. But typically, you know, when therapy is started, there's a general idea of about how much time, you know, like 6 months or whatever. And usually at the first meeting, which is kind of a get to know each other, you talk about, okay, this is about how long, this is about how frequently. So I think typically it's laid out as its own therapy, and a person that's interested in it can either be referred by their physicians. There are physicians, both physicians and psychological references that we get out of the area from private practices.
So you could actually be on a parallel track. You could be seeing your regular therapist or counselor, and in addition to that, mix in the equine therapy.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It doesn't have to be an either or.
No. And typically, even if somebody was working with like two different therapists, those two therapists may or may not have the advantage of being able to, you know, plan things together. And a lot of that's probably up to the client. But typically, it's kind of its own thing. And, you know, I think it can work on its own or in conjunction with other treatments.
Well, you're on your way to becoming a licensed therapist yourself. You've got your master's in educational psychology. Where do you see your career going now that you've been exposed and working in equine therapy?
Well, I think it's probably one of the most powerful types of therapy I've seen. What I would really like to do, I know, in just kind of researching for where I'd like to go, I would like to work with vets. I am a vet, and that's always been kind of my ultimate goal. But I also want to incorporate the use of animals. There are facilities that use horses, dogs, and cats, and I'd like to learn more about those because I just think that the power of all these types of things is so much. It's got so much more potential than we might see it as.
A very holistic approach to
providing
care.
Absolutely. It just gives you a lot more tools.
And other students at UWM, do you think have you got others interested in this same approach?
I know there's a lot of people who've asked me, and you know, I let them know, hey, this is something that's growing. I know the advisor that I had in the ed psych program is she shared with me that she really loves farms. And I've invited her to come out there. You know, I know with some of the clients that we have, it would be nice to make a connection even with the occupational therapy program.
So for listeners who might want to follow up on this, how can they get in touch with the program that you're involved in?
Steppingstonefarms.com.
Nice and simple.
You can go to the website. All the information is there, including more information on the type of therapy.
Steppingstonefarms.com.
.org. It's a nonprofit.
Steppingstonefarms.org.
Yes.
Great. Well, good advice. Lisa, thank you so much for sharing your insight. And I don't know, I'm intrigued now. I'm not a horsey person by nature, but it might be worth a ride out just to watch this in action. It sounds like a fascinating program. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Lisa Engel, a counselor and a graduate of UWM's School of Education, got her master's degree in educational psych, and now involved in equine therapy here in Milwaukee. That's all for this edition of UWM Today. Thanks so much for taking some time out of your day to hear about some of the fascinating people and programs that we're involved in. See you next week, everybody. I'm Tom Lujack.
You've been listening to UWM Today, the weekly program where you meet the faculty, staff, and students at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee who help make a difference in the lives of people in southeastern Wisconsin through their teaching, research, and community service. To learn more about UWM, go online to uwm.edu.